90.7 KPFK, Los Angeles.
I don't know if you've heard, but the Georgia State Election Board is in a very positive way. This is a very positive thing, Marjorie. They're on fire. They're doing a great job. Three members are all pit bulls fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory. They're fighting.
Fighting for victory. The State Election Board in Georgia, huh?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Aren't they supposed to be neutral?
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
We'll find out.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I got a lot of questions.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast. That's heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX. In Richmond, Virginia on WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us. We have got a lot to get to today with one of our favorite guests who has not been with us in a while on a very hot topic. She is standing by, even if she has a likely different take on the issue we're going to talk about that has been getting a lot of coverage and fury, largely from Democrats in recent days. It regards Georgia. I'll just leave you with that hint for the moment. But very quickly, just a reminder that there are still about three more weeks worth of gubernatorial and state primary elections taking place between now and the general election day on November 5. On Tuesday, Arkansas, Wyoming, and Florida will be voting in their primary elections. In Florida, as we mentioned last week, Donald Trump, who really, really opposes early voting and thinks everyone should be forced to only vote on Election Day, whether they're available that day to vote or not, whether it's convenient for them, whether they're able to get free from work on a Tuesday, whether they're too sick to leave their hospital bed, well, he feels that nobody should be allowed or able to vote by mail or early in person before Election Day. Well, yeah, last week, Donald Trump voted in person in Florida early because what he tells you has nothing to do with what he will actually do. Keep that in mind, does he, Doyen?
Irony.
Yes, there you go. How are you?
Doing all right.
Okay. So get out and vote if you're in Arkansas, Wyoming, or Florida before the close of polls on Tuesday. Make sure you're registered to vote as you think you are. We don't want any surprises in November. And that is true, by the way, for voters in every state, as Republicans are on a tear to try and purge voting rolls wherever and however they can get away with it this year, as we will also be discussing this week. But quickly, also before my guest today, some potentially big news this week, even if after a lot of fits and starts, color me dubious about the latest potential breakthrough, though I hope I'm wrong about it just because I'm jaded at this point. But U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Monday that Israel has accepted a proposal to bridge differences that have been holding up a ceasefire and hostage release in Gaza. And he called on Hamas to do the same without saying whether concerns cited by the militant group had yet been addressed. The high-stakes negotiations have gained urgency in recent days as diplomats hope an agreement will deter Iran and Lebanon's Hezbollah from avenging the targeted killings of two top militants that were blamed on Israel. The escalating tensions have raised fears of an even more destructive regional war. Blinken spoke after holding a 2.5-hour meeting with Israel's far-right Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu earlier in the day and will travel to Egypt and Qatar for further negotiations. The three mediators have spent months trying to end the war in Gaza, with the talks repeatedly stalling. This time, according to Blinken, however, there may be an actual breakthrough. Again, even as I remain dubious about it all, hopeful but dubious. Quote, in a very constructive meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu today, Blinken told reporters, without saying what the proposal entails, he confirmed to me, says Blinken, that Israel supports the proposal. The next important step is for Hamas to say yes, according to Blinken. He added, however, that even if Hamas accepts the proposal, negotiators will spend the coming days working on, quote, clear understandings on implementing the agreement. He said there are still, quote, complex issues requiring, quote, hard decisions by the leaders, without offering specifics. So take all of that for what it is worth. Maybe it is good news. We will see. The reason I remain dubious, of course, is because when and if this war does finally end, Netanyahu is almost certainly going to be tossed out of his job as prime minister, when he will once again be facing both felony criminal charges and now potentially war crimes charges after his government's horrific assault against tens of thousands of civilians in Gaza following Hamas's attack on Israel. A horrific attack as well in October of last year. And that potentially good news comes on the day that the largest protests are expected in Chicago, outside of the United Center, against the Biden-Harris administration's position on Israel, as the Democratic Party kicks off their national convention this week in the Windy City. By way of a very quick summary of what to expect over the four-night shindig in Chicago this week, above and beyond the protests outside of the venue, on Monday, President Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, Hillary Clinton, and some women who suffered through difficult pregnancies in states with abortion bans will all address the convention in what is being regarded as a symbolic handoff between President Biden and now the Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris. On Tuesday, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama will speak. On Wednesday, it's Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz and Bill Clinton on that same day. And finally, on Thursday night, Kamala Harris will officially accept the nomination to be the Democrats' nominee for president of the United States in what will be another historic evening. As to the election itself, well, we've been discussing in recent weeks, warning, in fact, about Republican schemes to bollocks up the results by GOP election officials in a number of states and counties who may, and I would argue will, try to cause chaos and prevent results from being certified by claiming, legitimately or not, that they have concerns about fraud of some sort carried out during the election, whether they have evidence of that fraud or not. At least that'll be the scheme if Donald Trump is reported as the loser again after Election Day. Some of the best coverage of these concerns came recently from a deep dive by Rolling Stone, identifying nearly 70 pro-Trump election conspiracists who are currently working as county election officials in the battleground states of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, who have questioned the validity of elections or delayed or refused to certify results. At least 20 of these county election officials have refused or delayed certification in recent years. We've discussed on a number of occasions on this program our concerns that GOP election officials will try to block certification of results in hopes of causing enough chaos to either prevent certain states that, in this case, Kamala Harris will have won from being able to certify their elections at all, tossing the matter of how to count those states, if at all, to the state legislature in those states to decide which slate of electors to send to the Electoral College for certification in D.C. on January 6th next year. Or simply causing enough questions about the results in some of those states and counties that the questions of who will be the next president is decided instead by a vote of U.S. House delegations, as both the law and the U.S. Constitution spell out. One of the biggest states of concern is, of course, the great state of Georgia, where the State Election Board, or SEB, has now been gamed to include at least three 2020 election deniers, three MAGA folks who have questioned the results of the 2020 election in the Peach State when Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump by just over 11,000 votes. It's a five-person board. It has four Republicans and one Democrat, and in recent weeks, they have been rewriting certain rules for county boards of elections across the state in advance of the November 5 election. Now, several new regulations, including one that modifies the language of rules to allow for a, quote, reasonable inquiry to take place in advance of certification at the county level, has struck a chord among a lot of Democrats and voting rights advocates who are charging that these changes that the board is making, the State Board of Elections in Georgia, are in fact a scheme to delay or to prevent certification in the state of Georgia entirely if needed. And no less than Rachel Maddow, yes, that one, the most Democratish of Democrats in the mainstream corporate media, she warns today in an op-ed in the New York Times that since Donald Trump and Ronna Romney McDaniel, the then chair of the Republican National Committee, phoned local officials in Michigan back in November of 2020 to encourage them not to certify vote totals, Republicans have been quietly seated into county and state election boards with eager allies. Election boards across the country now including Republican officials who have not only propounded Mr. Trump's lies about the last presidential election being stolen, they have tested how far they can go in denying the certification of the vote. Republicans tried this ploy, she notes, more than two dozen times in at least eight states since 2020. She cites two refusenik Republican election board members who were indicted for it in Cochise County, Arizona. That case is pending, she notes. Two others were removed from their position in Surry County, North Carolina. In New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Nevada, Republican officials who delayed or refused to certify the votes ultimately relented under legal pressure. But in Georgia, writes Maddow, the State Election Board approved a rule this month that gives election officials in each of the state's 159 counties the option to delay or refuse certification in order to make a, quote, reasonable inquiry into the results. What counts as reasonable inquiry? Well, the new rule does not say. But in a state where Republicans have delayed or refused certification at least seven times since 2020, she notes, more than in any other state, the rule injects a new layer of murk into the legal waters less than 100 days before the election. Now, Maddow is just one of many Democrats who have been kind of freaking out about what the Georgia State Election Board is up to, what they are doing, and not without good reason. About a week or so ago, during a rally in Atlanta, Donald Trump, not known for his deep understanding of policy, much less elections policy, or the people who run them, he cited by name the three MAGA members of the Georgia State Election Board, which, remember, is supposed to be a neutral arbiter of election laws and rules in the state. He cited them by name.
I don't know if you've heard, but the Georgia State Election Board is in a very positive way. This is a very positive thing, Marjorie. They're on fire. They're doing a great job. Three members, Janice Johnson, Rick Jeffries, and Janelle King, three people, are all pit bulls fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory. They're fighting.
Fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory. They're fighting. They're fighting. The majority members of the Georgia State Election Board. And again, these are supposed to be neutral arbiters of election statutes and how they're carried out among counties. But in Trump's mind, anyway, the three election deniers now on that board are fighting for victory, presumably for him this November. But as to that rule that seems to have Rachel Maddow and so many other Democrats kind of freaked out, law professor Derek Muller at the well-respected election law blog sort of dispassionately looked at the actual controversial rule in question last week to try to figure out what all the hubbub and the concern was about allowing, quote, reasonable inquiry before certification of election results at the county level in Georgia. Mueller cited the lead, for example, at the Guardian recently claiming, quote, Trump's plan to steal election is taking place. Before he asked, but is that right? The New York Times opens this way. He notes, quote, the Republican-controlled Georgia State Election Board approved on Tuesday a measure that could empower local officials to refuse or delay certification of counties' election results, creating the potential for another disputed and contentious post-election period in November. Writes Mueller that the word could is doing a whole lot of work there. In the Washington Post, he says it's this way, quote, the board got to work this week approving a raft of new rules that critics say could void valid votes, place onerous burdens on overtaxed election workers, and potentially delay the certification of results. Likewise, Mueller notes, could, and the word potentially, seem to be doing significant work. Mueller argues, so let's look at that rule. It's a cause of some mild concern, in my view, he writes, but nothing particularly significant, and certainly nothing likely to affect the results of the election in any formal way. Here it is, in its totality, as entered into the definitions section of the administrative rules, defining the role of county election administrators. Quote, certify the results of a primary election or runoff, or words to that effect, means to attest, after reasonable inquiry, that the tabulation and canvassing of the elections are complete and accurate, and that the results are true and accurate, a true and accurate accounting of all votes cast in that election. Mueller goes on to note that state law empowers election officials, not state administrative rules, but state law, statutes. State administrative rules, he notes, can shape the rules concerning the discretion of the exercise of that power. It can set timing or best practices, but the Georgia Election Code already defines what election officials may do. That includes, quote, to receive from poll officers the returns of all primaries and elections, to canvass and compute the same, and to certify the results thereof to such authorities as may be prescribed by law. It is prescribed by law in Georgia, as I understand it, that county election officials must certify results by the Monday following the election at 5 p.m., period. That's no matter whether they have a reasonable inquiry or not. And yet there are a lot of Democrats on the ground in Georgia and nationally, yes, including Rachel Maddow and friends, who are very concerned about the change that allows, quote, reasonable inquiry by county election officials in Georgia before they must, by law, it seems, certify results in a week's time after the election, whether they want to or not. In addition to that, rules change on Monday, as Maddow also cites in her Times op-ed today. The Georgia State Election Board was also expected to consider yet another revision of the rules that, as she argues, would afford members of county election boards an additional option for delaying or refusing certification. The rule would allow local election board members to demand, quote, all election-related documentation, unquote, before certifying the results. So this may sound worrying, and as I have stated many times, I have no doubt that Republicans this time around absolutely will do anything that they can to hold up or to block certification, whatever it may be helpful to them in hopes of wreaking chaos that must eventually be decided by Republican state legislatures and or Republicans in Congress, where such a vote would be carried out by House delegations for each state who get one vote per state to decide who will be the president, and where Republicans currently control the majority of House delegations in 26 states compared to Democrats who have control of just 22 states, two others are tied. Or where all of this just heads to the federal courts, to the Trump-packed federal courts, and ultimately to Donald Trump's corrupted, packed, stolen, and activist U.S. Supreme Court to decide, well, they get to decide who's going to be the next president, as the court has previously done back in, well, you may remember, in 2000, Bush v. Gore, when the high court simply stopped all the counting of ballots in Florida to name George W. Bush the new president, even though Al Gore almost certainly received more votes in the state than Bush did that year. I have no doubt that Republicans will try to carry out such a scheme in one or more swing states this year. But should Democrats be worried about this particular rule in Georgia, about the ability for local election officials to carry out a reasonable inquiry into concerns about fraud or miscounts before certifying at the county level? Or being allowed to review, quote, all election-related documentation before doing so? Well, when I have questions about Georgia elections, as longtime listeners to this program may know, there's one person who I rely on the most, frankly. Marilyn Marks is the founder and head of the nonpartisan CoalitionForGoodGovernance.org, the group who successfully sued in federal court to eventually ban Georgia's 100% unverifiable and wildly insecure Diebold touchscreen voting machines. Back in 2019, only to see the state's Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, replace them with similarly unverifiable and wildly insecure touchscreen voting systems made by Dominion. She's suing to ban those systems as well in favor of verifiable hand-marked paper ballots, but it's taking a while. She is also, as longtime broadcast listeners know, the woman who first revealed the unprecedented voting system breach in Coffee County, Georgia, where a bunch of MAGA Trump folks under the organization of Trump lawyer Sidney Powell made unlawful breaches into the wildly sensitive statewide voting system software at the Coffee County, Georgia Elections Building, copied that software and sent it out into the wild. We were the first to air her recorded conversation with one of the Trumpers behind that Coffee County scheme, who has since pleaded guilty as part of Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis's sprawling election fraud indictment against Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants, about five of whom were involved in the Coffee County breach that Marilyn helped to expose. If there is anyone who understands what the hell is going on inside of Georgia's elections, it would be Marilyn Marks, who, after she spent all day at that state election board hearing on Monday, joins us now on the broadcast to try and make sense of all of this. Marilyn Marks, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you so much, Brad, for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Good to have you here after what I know has already been a long day with the Board of Elections. All right, Marilyn Marks, I know that your head has sort of been exploding in recent weeks on Twitter and elsewhere, pushing back against concerns from Democrats about these new rules, particularly the reasonable inquiry language. Your group issued a newsletter on Sunday concluding the quote, "We view the current partisan rancor and dissemination of misinformation as extremely harmful to the democratic process." So you seem to think the Democrats here are flat out wrong about their concerns, if I understand it. Why are they wrong, Marilyn Marks?
I do.
Why?
And many of the progressive groups that support that. I do think that they are misinformed to start with. Mm-hmm. They are assuming that Georgia, because many of these organizations are from out of state, mm-hmm. they are assuming that Georgia is like a normal state and that Georgia actually has good elections uh-huh. and that numbers reconcile uh-huh. and that ballots are counted well. And, you know, the problem is that Georgia does not have a reasonable system for counting ballots. Mm-hmm. And what the rules actually do, and I know if I could, I'm sure Rotten Tomatoes are coming through the airwaves at me right now.
No, no.
But what these rules actually do is help the Democrats, because they are going to need to do everything possible to protect. If Harris wins, you know it's going to be close. If Harris wins, they are going to have to do everything possible to protect that win. And without some of these transparency measures, they would have a hell of a fight on their hands.
Well,
and what's happening is that these are actually pro-transparency measures, Brad.
Well, then why are all of these Democrats, all of these progressives freaking out about this? They're suggesting that this language allowing a reasonable inquiry will allow these election officials to hold up certification of the election entirely. Are they wrong about that?
They are wrong about that, because no one at all has attempted to create a delay in the certification. There's a hard stop time. It's 5 p.m. on Monday after the election. Nobody has even tried to move that dead time other than there was a rule that was passed that would move it up, that would move the finalization up by mistake to a Friday afternoon. But the point is, no one is trying to move that date. That's just completely wrong.
Well, Marilyn, where do we get this uh-huh. idea that in report after report, ProPublica says, and you know, they're a very legitimate media
yeah.
outfit, obviously. They
yeah.
say the state election yeah. board adopted a rule by a 3-2 vote that allowed for county board members to delay certification of election results to conduct a reasonable inquiry into them.
I think it's a game of telephone that somebody started this and started saying, oh, they've adopted a rule to delay certification. And one person has read that from someone else's blog or article, and nobody's going back and looking at the actual words of the rules that were passed. The rules that were passed actually reinforce the deadlines. And, you know, don't even attempt to delay. Here's what I think's going on.
Yeah.
In a normal state, you have... And it's supposed to happen in Georgia, too. You first have the canvassing. And that means that's where you do all your reconciliations. That's where you make sure all your military ballots got counted. Your provisional ballots got counted or excluded, whatever the mm-hmm. appropriate thing is. And all your mail ballots are in on, you know, everything got counted. All precincts are reporting. That you do that in your canvassing. And the election board in Georgia is supposed to do that canvassing, tick and tie everything, until it's an accurate canvass.
Each county election board is supposed to do that.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
The county election board is supposed to do that. Sometimes, of course, the bigger counties have staff members that do that. But regardless, that is the county election board function.
Okay.
Then hours or minutes after they finish that very good canvass, they are then required to certify. That is, as the lawyers have been saying, that certification is a quote ministerial duty. You know, you are required to certify once you've got that canvas.
Uh-huh.
What
if the canvas never comes? It can never be completed because they're in the middle of a reasonable inquiry. They're claiming there is fraud or error or miscount, whether there legitimately is or not, but they've been given the okay to make this reasonable inquiry, and they say, look, at this point, we cannot attest that these results are true and accurate, and therefore I cannot certify these results because I can't attest that they're accurate.
Well, the way that Georgia law appears to work mm-hmm. is you just do the best you can in terms of you put down the absolute best numbers you can.
Yeah.
And while no place in law really allows you to say, well, except for precinct two, where the ballots burned up and we could never find them, or, you know, something that is a reason that you cannot certify, that there might be an exception. There's nothing in the law that permits an exception, but I think what most people would do is go ahead and certify and say, but precinct two, we didn't report because we can't find the ballots. And that is, you are required to certify. And mm-hmm. if you don't, and remember, if for most of these boards are 5-member boards,
right?
So all you need are 3 votes to certify. 2 can sit there and hold out and say, no, I can't sign. Doesn't make any difference whether they do or not, so long as the 3 votes are there to certify. Go ahead.
Well, is it largely the case that in these county boards of election that their makeup, the makeup of the board, if it's a 5-person board or a 3-person board, that the makeup tends to reflect the politics of the county? In other words, Fulton County is Atlanta. It's heavily Democratic. Does that mean that the Fulton County Elections Board has a Democratic majority on it?
It does. And that is generally, certainly not by law, but it is generally the way it works, the way you described it. And Fulton has a 3-2. But yes, it does tend to reflect the political makeup of the county.
So if one of these counties was going to hold up the certification in a Republican-leaning county where they had a Republican majority on the board, they would end up holding up certification of a county that probably Donald Trump had won in such a scenario. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And that's exactly right.
So what does that get them? Is there a case where if there are counties who refuse for whatever reason to certify, then that means the state itself cannot be certified?
That is correct. But what would happen in that case? Let's say, again, you don't just have 1 or 2 member holdout. You've mm-hmm. got the majority of the board holding out.
Right.
Then what would happen is no doubt that the candidate, the winning candidate uh-huh. would go to court, take them to court immediately and ask for a mandamus order that they have to. And it is typical. It shouldn't take any time at all for the court to require the board to certify, you know, to their absolute best ability. You've got to certify what's in front of you.
So a mandamus, when you go to the judge, is basically going to the judge and saying, hey, there is a statutory duty that an official
Correct.
Must carry out. They are not carrying out. Please give us an order to force them to carry
yes.
that out, right?
That is exactly right.
And mm-hmm. what happens if they still refuse at that point?
Well, I don't know that anybody has ever seen that happen, but somebody's going to have to be willing to pay fines and go to jail and deal with all of the measures of contempt of court. But I'm sure that the court would at some point say, okay, well, we will appoint alternate board members, because most of the county statutes, the state statutes that relate to the county boards
Yeah.
have a provision that a board member can be removed for cause. So that's the other thing. You can run into the Superior Court if you've got board members who are refusing to follow the law, refusing to comply with court orders. You just get an order that they've got to be removed.
I've still got a lot more questions about this, Marilyn Marks, and I want to press you a little bit, because we are seeing a whole bunch of folks who I would call a GOP voter fraud fraudsters, from Cleta Mitchell to Hans von Spakovsky, come on in, fly on in support of these new rules for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I want to press you on that. We've got to take a break first. But before the break, you said at the top in one of your answers that this new provision in the rules in the state of Georgia is actually good for Democrats. How is it good for Democrats?
And it could be better because it could be a little better wordsmith.
Mm-hmm.
But because Democrats really, really need to be able to test these numbers, have transparency, not have the ballot box closed and shut down and be unable to see. Because let's remember, in Georgia, there are 159 counties,
mm-hmm.
and only about 30 of them are Democratic counties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you've got 129 counties that are Republican counties. You really do not want these people counting, or anybody. I shouldn't be so partisan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want any county counting the ballots in the dark,
right?
Right. You really do want numbers reconciled.
Yeah.
You don't want ballots as we had in 2020. We can come back and talk about that. But in 2020, we had ballots, thousands of ballots that were not counted. Legitimate ballots were not counted. Other ballots were double counted.
Mm-hmm.
Ballots were triple counted. We really don't want that happening. The Democrats have been unwilling to look at those very real problems,
yeah.
because their guy won.
Yeah.
But it could just as easily have gone the other way.
No, absolutely. I mean, and I've been looking at this and talking to you about it and realizing all of a sudden these Democrats, they are against this idea of reasonable inquiry, and it's not well-defined. In fact, it's not defined at all in these rules, which is a problem. It should be defined in some way. But the idea that reasonable inquiry is allowed by the county officials before they sign off on the results by certifying them. Well, listen, you and I, Marilyn Marks, have spoken for years on this show about the 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems that the Republican Secretary of State of Georgia is forcing every voter at every polling place to use. They are terrible. They can be hacked. They can't be verified as reflecting the intent of any voter. And it may just be Democrats in a close election in Georgia who may wish to see a reasonable inquiry about reported results to make sure right. that these are correct. And so
let's not forget who stole the software.
It was Republicans who stole the software, and they know what to do with it, and they know how to game it, it seems. Yeah, Democrats may want to ask some questions. Okay, listen, I got to get to a quick break here. We will come back with Marilyn Marks. Maybe if you got some calls out there, I would welcome if you got a question for Marilyn on this topic, 818-985-5735 is our phone number. We are on Fund Drive, so you'll need to hit button number 1 to join us on air. Let me take a quick break. Marilyn, stand by. I got more for you straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast. Okay, as noted, we are on Fund Drive here at our flagship station in Los Angeles, KPFK. And yes, as always, we could really use your support, especially in this run-up to this election as we're trying to make sense of a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of information out there, trying to figure out which one is misinformation and which one is actual information. Please give us a call at 818-985-5735 to support our efforts here. 818-985-KPFK. Press number 2 to make a donation to support the broadcast, to support KPFK, to support Pacifica Radio, and the kind of independent reporting that we try to do every day for you on your public airwaves. 818-985-5735, any amount you can afford. Better yet, sign up for our Sustainers Circle, which is a monthly contribution, automated. Again, for any amount you can afford, 818-985-5735. Or if you are amongst our very large number of podcast listeners to the broadcast after air and you're listening, stop on by kpfk.org, pick out a thank you gift for yourself, and again, donate what you can afford. And in any event, whether it's on phone or whether it's online, please, please let them know you are a broadcast listener.
Yes, and you can also sign up to kpfk.org, and you can use that, and where we have lots of great thank you gifts for you. If you mm-hmm. can please sign up there. That would be fantastic. We could really use your help. KPFK, you know, we're 100% listener supported. And KPFK is the last remaining progressive radio station in all of Los Angeles. You are the one that keeps KPFK on the air.
818-985-KPFK. We're not going to take very long here for this break. We'll be back at the end of the show to harangue you for a few more minutes. But give us a call, 818-985-5735. Hit button number 2 to donate. We could really use your help. And now, back to the broadcast.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth.
Yes.
Just give me some truth.
I could use some truth. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Speaking with Marilyn Marks, the executive director of the Coalition for Good Governance, about the truth of what is going on in Georgia. A lot of concerns by Democrats, by progressives, about new rules that are being promulgated by the Georgia State Election Board in the most battlegroundy of battleground states. At least three election deniers on this five-person board have been changing the rules before the November 5th election. A lot of people are concerned that they are allowing a reasonable inquiry before county boards of elections have to certify the results. Marilyn Marks, however, says no. That's not a concern because the law in the state still requires that all counties must certify by the Monday following the election at 5 p.m. and that Democrats may be shooting themselves in the foot by arguing against this kind of transparency. Marilyn Marks, like I say, there's a whole bunch of Democrats who are very worried about this, and there are a whole bunch of Republicans, folks like Cleta Mitchell, who was on that phone call with Donald Trump, that call to Brad Raffensperger trying to muscle him into stealing 11,780 votes back in 2020. Cleta Mitchell was on that phone as Trump's lawyer or something. She has been pushing for these new rule changes. Hans von Spakovsky, one of the most insidious of GOP voter fraud fraudsters, really a vote suppressor. He spoke in favor of these rules, as I understand it, at the State Board of Elections on Monday. Yes. How do you justify this, the fact that you are on the side of Cleta Mitchell and Hans von Spakovsky on this one, Marilyn Marks?
I don't say that I am on their side. I look at what is put on paper as to the rule that is being promoted. Mm-hmm. And while it could be better, it is headed in the right direction, because what we do need is we need that ability for Democrats and Republicans mm-hmm. to have those reasonable inquiries while they are canvassing. Get that good canvass done, mm-hmm. and then yes, then automatically certify what you've got for canvass. But Brad, let's take an example that you know well mm-hmm. for a couple of reasons. And let's put the shoe on the other foot.
Okay.
Back in 2020, you had Jean Dufort of Morgan County. She's the chair of the Morgan County Democrats.
In Georgia.
In Georgia. You had her on your show where you were the one to break the news that Georgia ballot scanners mm-hmm. were not picking up all of the votes. Right. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then you've had the great voting rights heroine, Helen Butler, mm-hmm. on your show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Helen was on that election board. Mm-hmm. She learned that their scanners were not collecting all of the votes. She insisted during canvass that her co-election board members permit her or someone mm-hmm. to go look at the absentee ballots to try to make sure they had gotten all the votes. Board members mm-hmm. refused to allow anyone. They were satisfied with their results. They refused to allow her that reasonable inquiry, or refused to allow anyone else to do it. So she knew mm-hmm. there were votes not being counted. Her board members said, "You're not going to do any reasonable inquiry." And she refused to certify.
And
how do you blame her? How do you blame her for that?
Well, no, I don't. I don't, but I do look. I do look at this, and I see some insidious people. I see Donald Trump go, you know, at a rally in Atlanta, citing those three election officials by name. And Donald Trump doesn't know anything about election policies, you know, much less who the names of the people on the Board of Elections, the State Board of Elections in Georgia, are. But boy, he knew these names, and boy, he was able to say that you're doing a great job helping us towards victory and doing a great fight. So all of these people are in favor of this thing. And yet, Marilyn, you were at the State Election Board today, Coalition for Good Governance, trying to push those very same folks for hand-marked paper ballots in every precinct around the state. And they were against it. So if they are in favor of so much transparency and oversight of elections, how do you square the idea that, no, they voted against your proposal for hand-marked paper ballots?
I'm not saying I can make sense of them, but I am pretty confident that the Attorney General was telling them with respect to hand-marked paper ballots, no, because Judge Totenberg may see you admitting that there's a problem. And they've pretty much admitted to us that the reason that they will not do anything on hand-marked paper ballots, never mind the software's been stolen, never mind the system's compromised and vulnerable, but they are not going to give an inch on that. But let's go back to, it's worrisome as to who's promoting it, but the Democrats should be one-upping them and promoting these very same concepts, but doing it with better legal language, doing it with more precision, and doing it to be certain that they, the Democrats, are not sitting outside with their noses pressed against the window pane, not being able to figure out what's going on with the vote counting.
Basically saying that Democrats should be saying, okay, yeah, sure, a reasonable inquiry is fine. This is what we define as a reasonable inquiry. This is the time limit for such an inquiry, et cetera, et cetera. But you're suggesting—
And here's what you do when none of us can figure out what the right answer is.
Right, how to move forward. But given all of this, Marilyn Marks, are you concerned, as I am, that Republicans will try to use anything and everything they can this year to hold up this election, to block certification if necessary and if possible, and in order to, you know, inject chaos into the process if they believe it will help them, because they don't have to be successful. They just have to cause kick up enough smoke and dust that, you know, up in Congress on January 6th, they can say, well, you know what, we just can't vote to certify Georgia because there's just too many questions about what happened. And by the way, it is not only in Georgia, but in a whole bunch of other swing states as well. You don't sound like you're that concerned about that, are you?
No. I am very concerned about it. And that is exactly why we need more transparency, Brad, because if we go with the idea of, oh, don't look at anything, let's keep the doors closed, let's keep the ballot box shut, let's don't let anybody look at anything, then you have made it easier for those who want to claim nothing can be determined. We've got to go to the General Assembly. We got to go to Congress. And, you know, these election results are no good. We are allowing that to be easy to do if we don't have a verifiable voting system, if we don't have full transparency, if we don't let everyone be able to see the basic public documents. And so let's don't make it easier for the people who have already told us we are going to try to upend the election if we don't like the results.
Do you feel that these Republicans who are seeking reasonable inquiry and all available documentation, that they are doing so for legitimate reasons, because they actually want a transparent election that we can all have confidence in, that there is not some nefarious reason they're trying to put these things in place to game the system?
Well, of course, it's hard to know what anyone's motives are or what their motives may become. But I have known some of them for years, and I have watched them work in very responsible ways, even though their politics and my politics personally, and I'm not speaking for CGG. CGG is nonpartisan, but having, you know, I may not have anything in common with them on the politics. However, I've watched some of them work really hard to try to get more transparent and more accurate elections. And so some of them who I know personally, I don't doubt their motives. I don't doubt that there are also people who will use any opportunity to attempt to upend the election.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad, that's why we have just been working tirelessly, relentlessly, even when we should have given up probably on let's don't use these BMDs, because it is giving people who would upend the election many opportunities to do so. They can come in and claim, you know, excuse me, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that those are the touchscreen ballot marking devices that are used all across Georgia. By the way, used also out here in Los Angeles at the polling places, sadly, where you can never know that, you know, computer prints out a ballot. You can never know if it actually reflects the intent of the voter. And you had referenced earlier that Judge Totenberg, the U.S. District Court judge, is still weighing your lawsuit and whether to ban those machines. Obviously, it seems that's not going to happen before the November election this time. But Rachel Maddow, in her op-ed in the New York Times today, she notes a recent report in the Times quoted an official with the conservative, the right-wing, Heritage Foundation saying that, quote, the conditions in the country are now such that, quote, most reasonable policymakers and officials cannot, in good conscience, certify an election. Michael Whatley, the chair of the Republican National Committee, has declined to answer when asked if the party intends to try to block vote certifications. Chris LaCivita, the campaign manager for Donald Trump, last month, during the RNC, in an interview with Politico's Jonathan Martin, had this to say about the election:
"It's not over until he puts his hand on the Bible and takes the oath. It's not over till then. It's not over on Election Day. It's over on Inauguration Day. Because I wouldn't put anything past anybody."
What do you mean?
I just don't.
Chris LaCivita saying it's not over on Election Day. It's not over until someone puts their hand on the Bible on January 20th. These are alarming to me, these thoughts, Marilyn. You?
And they should be. And we ought to take them seriously, Brad. Right? We ought to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Don't give them more rope to do this with. Give them less opportunities to do this. And by continuing down this path that Georgia has been on for years of its black box system, we're not going to, it doesn't matter if the numbers are even reported correctly or not. It doesn't matter if we fail to report some precincts. You know, don't question anything. Just take whatever spits out of the computer, or partially what spits out of the computer. You know, as I told you, there were thousands and thousands of wrongly counted votes in 2020,
right,
although we don't have any evidence that Trump won by any stretch. But we don't want thousands of ballots counted wrong. Therefore, take away the opportunities for mischief by making sure that the laws do work, so that there can be, in fact, during the canvass, reasonable inquiry, full transparency. What the election board chair was proposing as an alternative rule is a very small list of documents that the election board members would be permitted to see before they had to sign off. Well, now, wait a minute. All these are public documents. He was going to restrict their view. He was going to restrict the view of board members on what they could look at during the canvass. So think about if you're a Democrat and, you know, Harris is coming in with less votes than you think she should, and things don't look right to you, and you're thinking there's something wrong here. We've forgotten a precinct. Mm. We're missing some ballots somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to inquire. And they say, oh, no. You can only look at these five documents. You can't look at any of the others. You just sign off. You don't want that happening to you.
Yeah.
So don't force that on anyone.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. And I, as I have come to understand your point of view here, and I should note, you are certainly on this issue a contrarian amongst you know, a lot of folks out there who say, mm-hmm. you know, we love Marilyn, she's right on everything. She's got this one, she's all wrong on this one. But you point out, and I will link folks to your sort of lengthy fact check, if you will, on what is and isn't actually happening in Georgia, what you should and shouldn't be concerned about, which concludes to say from Coalition for Good Governance, we view the current partisan rancor and dissemination of misinformation as extremely harmful to the democratic process. We urge all parties involved in these debates to focus on the fundamental principles of transparent, citizen-run elections with robust citizen oversight in Georgia. It should be clear that more election transparency, citizen oversight, accuracy, and accountability are essential, not less. And I think ultimately, as I've come to understand your point, that's exactly it. That even though we may not trust these people who are promulgating these rules and these ideas, the idea that there should be more transparency rather than less is ultimately a good thing. And that once again, Democrats who are knee-jerking about, oh, we can't question any elections, God forbid the people should have some confidence in the reported results of an election, that, you know, they ought to be careful what they're doing here, because they could be the ones this November 5th, November 6th, saying, wait a minute, those numbers don't sound right to us. We would like to have an inquiry, a reasonable one. And they may be very thankful that those rules changes were made. Marilyn, before I let you go here very quickly, email comes in from listener Jesse. To Bradcast at bradblog.com, saying, hello, Brad. Laughing, but not a joke. Marx versus Maddow. Maddow on the air with her Times item. How can we alter the issue? Get Marx on to Rachel Maddow tonight.
Let me wash my hair first.
She says, thanks, Brad, and certainly to Marilyn Marx. Yeah, you got to get in there. Should be easy to get in there and let Rachel Maddow know she may have swung and missed on this particular one. Good Lord. Okay.
It would be fun.
Yeah. And I think you would be able to make the case, because I think these are concerns that need to be heard. And Democrats, and again, not just in Georgia, but all over the country, have been saying no questioning of election results. Be careful what you wish for, Democrats. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Because it implies they fully trust what the other party's doing behind closed doors.
What could possibly go wrong? Marilyn Marx, the executive director and founder of the Coalition for Good Governance. You can support their work and find out what they're up to at coalitionforgoodgovernance.org. I mentioned the long sort of fact check that they put together and put out on a Sunday, just to give you an idea of how hopping mad Marilyn Marx might have been about all of this. You can find it at their website, coalitionforgoodgovernance.org, and you can follow her on the site still known as Twitter at Marilyn R. Marx, the number one. Marilyn R. Marx, one. Delightful speaking with you as always, Marilyn. I look forward to it
in
the near future. Keep up the good work, and thank you for keeping me straight on all the nightmares of Georgia.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got to get out here. Thanks again to Marilyn Marx and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. As well, my thanks to our board operator today, Wendell Handy. Well done, Wendell. No mistakes. And to our producer, Desi Doyen, also no mistakes. Thanks, guys. Greatly appreciated. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, I am The Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. All right, as promised, we are still here for another minute or two. Me and Desi Doyen to try to encourage you to please help out our flagship station here in Los Angeles, KPFK, with a donation of any amount you can afford. If it's $5, $10, if you've already donated before but can do it again, it's greatly appreciated. It is seen as a vote in support of the broadcast and this kind of programming on this radio station. 818-985-5735. Also, consider joining our Sustainer Circle. Choose any amount you like, and then it's automatically contributed each and every month to KPFK to help us stay on your public airwaves as long as possible. We are 100% listener supported. We count on you. And you can also go by our website, kpfk.org, find a nice thank you gift there, and donate along with it whatever you can afford. By the way, $25 or more makes you a member of KPFK, allows you to vote, which can affect the programming, to vote on our local station board, to actually become a member of the local station board, to help influence what goes out on the air, what shows are on the air, what shows are not on the air. So if you love the broadcast or you hate it, well, now's your chance to have some influence on whether we stick around.
Yeah, there you go. So please call us now, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Press 2 to donate. And remember that, you know, you're the only one that keeps KPFK on the air. We're 100% listener supported. Almost all of us here are volunteers. We don't get paid. Every single dollar, every single tax deductible dollar you give KPFK goes right back into making sure that this free community service stays free for all. All of the diversity in the voices, in the music, in the opinions that you hear,
and
that you won't hear anywhere else.
Stays independent. And as I said, you know, I was joking about you may love the broadcast or hate it. You may love other shows that are heard in other parts of the day. You may hate them. But that is because we are independent. We have nobody tells me what to say here.
Right.
Nobody tells me what to say. Nobody tells me what not to say. We are 100% independent, and good luck finding that on any other station across Los Angeles, period. You will only find it here at KPFK.
But you have to donate to keep that going. Please go to kpfk.org and pick up a thank you gift, or sign up for our Sustainer Circle. Set it and forget it, and know that you are supporting KPFK all year long, and we can do fewer fun drives if everybody listening were to donate right now. kpfk.org, 818-985-KPFK.
That's it. We will see you hopefully tomorrow. Please let them know you're a broadcast listener, 818-985-5735 or kpfk.org. We'll see you soon.